been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Ion Travel continues from the Ritz-Carlton here in Hong Kong. Of course, you know the drill. You can always email me, so do it. Peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones out there in San Antonio. I've got Alicia on the phone. Hello, Alicia.
Hello, Peter.
How can I help you?
Well, Peter, I saw your documentary on hidden Saudi Arabia. I loved it. My sister and I want to go in the spring of 2026, and we were hoping you could help us with some suggestion on a travel agency that could help with the arrangement.
Okay, so let's start with the good news, and that is since 2019, Saudi Arabia has like an open visa situation where anybody gets a visa, and you'll get it within a day. You can apply online. It's easy. It's fast. And you'll get. And this is a country, believe it or not, that was a closed kingdom, as you saw in our documentary, for 79 years. And now it's wide open and it's unbelievable. You saw what we did. It's still surprising to me, everything they have there. They have more UNESCO World Heritage sites than people realize. They've got Alula, which are just the same kind of incredible ruins that you'd also find in Petra and Jordan. You know, you saw we were in a forest in Saudi Arabia. Whoever knew that? We were in the Red Sea, diving in Jeddah. You know, most people only used to go to Jeddah if they were Muslim pilgrims. Now it's open to everybody, not Mecca, but Jeddah. And so great opportunities there. There are so many different ways you can go. How much time did you want to spend there, first of all?
Well, we're open. My sister and I are book seniors, and we're pretty flexible, so we were planning maybe 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, good news. You don't need 3 to 4 weeks to do Saudi Arabia. However, you do need 3 to 4 weeks to do the region. If I were you, I would add another country to it, right? You can either do Egypt.
Well, that's perfect, because we've been wanting to add Jordan to it, so
yes.
That's partly Jordan and Saudi.
Well, then you know what? Do Jordan. It's wonderful. It's an easy flight. I mean, literally a short flight, less than an hour, and you'll be there. So what you'll do is you'll get what's called an open jaw ticket. You'll fly to Saudi and maybe come back from Jordan. You don't have to come back to Saudi to return to San Antonio. Uh-huh. That's number one. Number two, a lot of the hotels can help you out directly with the tours, depending on where you want to stay. That's especially true in Jordan, by the way. But the one company I'd check out, because they've done it so well for so long, is a company called Abercrombie & Kent. By the way, they're based in near Chicago, but you'll find their 800 number. But any travel agent or travel advisor can help you with this. What you want to do is I would suggest the following. Go to either, and write this down, these are three consortia of great travel agencies. One is called Signature. One is called Travel Leaders Group. And one is called Virtuoso. And each of these consortia has within it travel agents or travel advisors, I should say, who specialize only in either Saudi Arabia or Jordan. They're the best equipped to get you the best on-the-ground experience because they know the locals and they know exactly who to talk to based on what you want to do, right? I mean, I'm hoping, like you're like me, that you don't want to be stuck in the back of a bus, that you really want to have some time to see things at your own pace and with great storytelling and great storytellers. So go to any one of those three sites. They will then ask you what your particular affinity is or which destination you want to go. And then log on, and they'll then connect you with that travel advisor who does nothing but Jordan or Saudi. And they can be of great help. You're not obligated to do it, but if anybody's got those answers for you and can put together a really great itinerary that matches who you are, it would be any one of those three consortia, okay?
Okay, Peter. Let me ask you a quick question. The second one was travel. What was the second?
I got you. Travel Leaders Group.
Leaders Group. Okay, perfect. I was writing as fast as I could.
I know. I was speaking fast, so you're forgiven. No problem.
No. Okay. I got all three. It's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to know. And you know, we'll go from there. And that's when I needed some help trying to figure out how to even get started. But the best part and the what I loved out of your documentary was Dr. Anzawi's
Museum, the designer, the architect.
Oh my God. That was the most incredible thing.
You got to go see his house. It's in Jeddah. You'll be blown away. Yes. Okay.
That's basically it. We've already got that number one on our agenda.
Okay, Alicia. Well, listen, get back to me when you come back and tell me how you did, okay?
I will do. Thank you, Peter. This is perfect. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Alicia.
And I love your show, by the way.
Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
What Alicia's referring to, of course, is our special that you'll find today on PBS, Amazon Prime, and Apple TV Plus called Hidden Saudi Arabia. And believe it or not, it's easy to do Hidden Saudi Arabia because most of it's been hidden for 79 years. But the stuff that we found there was amazing. But the people that we found there were even more amazing. Great stories. And of course, the key to it all, great storytelling. But the real key to it all is it's now all accessible to everybody. So check it out. Of course, you'll find it, all of it, on Amazon, Apple TV, or PBS. And when we come back in our next hour, we're going to be talking about a lot more from Hong Kong, especially what's going on in travel and tourism and how you can use it as a hub to go just about anywhere else you want in Asia. So stick around, everybody. We'll be back with more right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you from the Ritz-Carlton in Hong Kong as Eye on Travel continues. Of course, you can always reach me. I keep saying it. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go to some of those emails right now. Here's one from Nancy, who writes, I lost my passport in London last year and went to the embassy to get an emergency passport, which expires in July. I recently applied for a full validity one, which I received in the mail last week. It looks like a normal U.S. passport, but it expires in April of 2026. There is no reason provided. I was only told that was not a mistake when I called the passport center. Well, it was a mistake. Here's what you need to do. Don't call the passport center. Either go to your local one and reapply, or go to a passport expediting service. There are a number of them that will do it, but it'll cost you so that you get a valid 10-year passport. And by the way, when you do that, ask for the 52-pager, not the 24 or the 28-pager. Remember, they're valid for 10 years, but if you run out of pages, you have to reapply. They no longer put in additional pages. I hope that's helpful, but it makes no sense that your passport would only be good until April of 26. You need to change that now. Okay? That's their mistake, but make sure you show the paperwork and you'll be okay. Here's one from Ruth, who writes, I know of a German citizen who is planning to travel to the USA in July, but he's canceled his plans because he knows of other German residents with proper travel documents where the USA has delayed and or detained them, and then they were unable to leave the USA as desired. Can you provide the reason? Well, I can't provide the reason for the individual cases. I can tell you that we're dealing with a situation where the United States is still being perceived by so many people as unwelcoming. Whether that's true or not, it's the perception that will kill you. And the problem is a lot of people are saying they don't want to come here because they're worried about being able to leave. Make sure that you have all your proper visa information. Make sure that you have all your proper travel documents. Make sure you have a return ticket as well. No one-way tickets here for all the obvious reasons. And allow for some extra time for them to ask you additional questions, because that's the nature of the beast in which we're now operating. All right? Now, let's go to Barbara's email, who writes, I love this one. When flying within the U.S., can you pack wine inside your checked luggage? And if so, is there a limit to the number of bottles permitted? And do the airlines charge an additional fee? All right. Well, you mentioned that, Barbara. It's flying within the U.S., so let's talk about that. There's no duty or customs involved because I'm assuming you bought the wine in the U.S. And the answer to your question is there is no limit. However, they weigh. So you don't want to exceed the 50 pounds per bag, number one. And number two, you want to pack them very carefully. It's not good enough to pack them in old laundry. It's not even good enough to pack them in bubble wrap because you see how bags get thrown around by baggage handlers at the airport. Any wine or liquor store, and you can even find it on Amazon, will sell you wine carriers. They come, they're like little baby suitcases that are completely contoured out for the wine bottles, and they provide great cushioning and insulation, and you can get them either as single wine carriers, triple or quadruple wine carriers, and that's how you pack them. All right, just be careful of the weight. And one more thing, remember, and I always say this, but it's particularly applicable now, baggage thieves do not steal bags. They steal individual items from bags. So take a photograph of what you packed in your bag before you close it. Don't lock it because the TSA has to have access to it. And then when you see it coming around the baggage carousel at the airport, don't just grab it and leave. Open it up and make sure everything you packed in there is still in there. Because if you wait till you get home to find out that something's missing, it's your word against the airlines. And guess what? You lose. But the basic answer to your question is you can bring as much wine as you want. Just be practical in terms and careful in terms of how you pack it and watch the weight. And here's an email from Jan who writes, as a female traveler, I hate bathrooms that don't have an outlet at the bathroom mirror to style my hair. I leave the bathroom with the hair dryer and wander all around the bedroom area looking for an outlet with a wall mirror nearby. I think hotel bathrooms are designed by a bald man. Any inside knowledge on this conundrum for women travelers? Yeah, I can tell you a couple of things. It's not just the outlets in the bathroom that's not good for women travelers. It's the lighting in the space. There's usually not enough lighting in there for your makeup, and there's usually not enough space, let's be honest, for all the stuff you carry with you that search and rescue teams have still not been able to either find or identify. However, let's go back to your original question. The outlet in the bathroom, there's a reason for that, and there's a safety reason for that. You don't want an outlet anywhere near water, right? I mean, you wouldn't throw the toaster in the bathtub. Why would you put a hairdryer next to the sink? That's why they don't have that. So what I do is, you know what I pack with me? I do. I pack with me a 12-foot extension cord with an outlet, you know, with a series of outlet plugs that I can do anywhere, and then that's how I do it. Not just for a hairdryer, for a shaver, or for anything else I'm doing, even for charging a computer or anything that requires light, and I don't want to wake myself up in the middle of the night. I can do it and run it to the bathroom. But now you understand the reason why they don't put outlets anymore. Some hotels do. Most hotels don't put outlets in the bathroom. It's about safety, not to mention liability. All right? So just pack the extension cord, and you'll be fine. And depending on how powerful your hairdryer is, that's another thing. You don't want to blow the circuit breaker. So make sure you have an extension cord that's powerful enough in terms of its capacity to handle that load that your hairdryer creates. All right? There you go. That music means we're out of time for the entire show. I want to thank Amanda Morris, our producer, Jeff Ryder doing the boards back in Connecticut, and of course, the entire staff of the Ritz-Carlton Hong Kong who made our stay here so remarkable. And we want to thank you again for that. We'll see you next week, everybody, from another location around the world. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.